A family from Leicestershire put a board up outside their house for local people to write on, and they asked them to finish the sentence. When this is all over, I'm looking forward to. Almost 200 people shared their hopes on it. They range from meeting up with family and friends, to fish and chips, to pints. What are you looking forward to doing when all the restrictions are lifted? The overwhelming majority of people in our country are experiencing some sense of loss at the moment, some sense of emptiness, a feeling that things that matter a great deal are not possible for the time being. We might not think of it in quite these terms, but effectively the current situation is making us all reflect on what life is really about. In our series, Clear Heads and Confident Hearts, we've reached the point where we have learned that God has wonderfully made a way that he can both be just and merciful to us. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into our world to die in the place of sinners, to experience the punishment that our rebellion justly deserved. And that means he can justly be merciful to us. This is how John chapter 3, verse 16 puts it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That verse tells us that God's mercy opens the door to a new life. It opens the door to eternal life. It opens the door for us to experience the life we were made for. So what is that life like? What is life truly meant to be for? What is eternal life? What is the life that God's mercy gives us? That's what we're looking at this morning. And the first thing we see is that life is for relationship. In that story I shared at the beginning, one of the common responses was that people were most looking forward to meeting with family and friends. And I'm sure many of us feel that too. If we didn't already know it, COVID-19 has taught us that loving relationships are at the very heart of life. And the Bible agrees. But I want to pick out three things that the Bible particularly emphasizes on this theme. Firstly, that God made us for a relationship with him. The first book in the Bible has a delightful picture of life in the very good world that God made. The picture of God walking in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day, looking to meet with Adam and Eve. This is how Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 puts it. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God had made them. He was their creator. He had given them so many good gifts, including, of course, a relationship with each other. But his crowning gift was a relationship with himself. And that involved him actually being with them. This period of isolation has driven home the lesson that actually being with people is a fundamental part of relationship. We are thankful for all the means of communication available, but we've learned that these things are limited. They're not as good as actually being with a person. God has made us for relationship, and above all, a relationship with him. But that verse I read earlier, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, carries on, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. That brings us to the second thing that the Bible emphasizes, and that is that sin ruined the relationship with God. Imagine meeting up with those you love for the first time in months. It'll be great. But I don't want to spoil your dreams, but let's be realistic. How long till you're arguing? How long till the first cross word? How long till you say or do something which upsets the person or the people you're with? You know, what I'm getting at is that while God has made us for relationship, the reality is that our relationships with other people are far from perfect. They are affected by sin. They're affected by the fact that we aren't the sort of people we should be. We are all flawed. And above all, our relationship with God is wrecked by our sin. The reason why Adam and Eve hid from God when he came down into the garden was because they had disobeyed him. They had rebelled against his rule, that had ruined the relationship, and they couldn't bear his presence anymore. The prophet Isaiah puts it like this in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That is why naturally we feel socially isolated from God. That is why so many people rightly have a sense there must be a God. This world and the life in it just didn't come about by chance. And yet God seems remote from them. But praise God, the story doesn't end there. Because the third thing to emphasize under this first heading of that God made us for relationship is that God rescues us for relationship with him. John chapter 3 verse 16, remember, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Earlier in the service we heard a part of Jesus' prayer to God the Father in John chapter 17, and this is what it says, John 17 verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We need to put those two verses together. God, the first one tells us, rescues people so that they can have eternal life. The second one tells us that the eternal life we are rescued to enjoy is all about a relationship with him. So putting the two verses together, we see that God rescues us to enjoy a relationship with him. You see, eternal life isn't just about life going on forever. It's about having a life that starts here and now, that is life as it is meant to be. And at the heart of that life as it is meant to be is knowing God, is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. God rescues us so that we might come into a relationship with him, so that we can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are rescued for relationship. The Bible also talks about how we are rescued to have good relationships with others, especially through being part of a local church. But for the rest of this sermon, I want to focus on that relationship with Jesus, which is the very essence, the very heart of what eternal life is all about. So my second heading, if we saw, well, firstly, that life is for relationship. Secondly, we see that it is a loving and faithful relationship. If you ask the question, what would a perfect relationship look like? And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships at this point, but about any good relationship. We might put it, what would make an ideal friend? Someone who is kind. So I don't have to worry whether they'll be in a good mood or a bad mood today when I meet them. Someone who is gentle with me when I'm down. Someone who is patient with me when I mess up. And yes, someone who is a joy to be with. Someone who just cheers you up. We can sum all that up, I think, as saying a good friend is someone who is loving. And let's draw out another key factor in a good friend, and that is that they are faithful. The best friends are ones that stick around, that are always there for you, that don't ditch you. I think many of us have a secret fear, and it's this: if my friends really knew what I was like, would they still want to be my friends? We're afraid that when people get to know us really well, they won't want to be friends anymore. We long for friends who are faithful, who might find out the worst about us, but would still never leave us. It's my privilege this morning to introduce you to Jesus. You must get to know him. If you've never done so, start to get to know about him by reading one of the Gospels, one of those four biographies of Jesus that are at the start of the New Testament. Many of us have got plenty of time during lockdown, and the shortest of those Gospels, Mark, should take you less than 2 hours to read. Jesus is amazing. There has never been anyone like him. He is loving, he is faithful, and here's the best bit: he is alive today, and you can actually come to know him. All the four Gospels end with Jesus dying, but then rising from the dead. And he was seen by hundreds of people after he rose from the dead. He is alive today, and he loves being friends with people just like you. And yes, he does know everything about you, and yet he still wants to be your friend. He's loving. Read through the Gospels and you will find many examples of Jesus being a loving friend. But there is one example that shows his love more than anything else. Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And he did exactly that. He laid down his life for his friends. He willingly died on the cross, taking the punishment for our sins so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have eternal life. Paul, one of the key leaders of the early Christian church, summed up his life as a Christian in this way, and this is from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Jesus loved me. Jesus gave himself for me. I can trust him. And here is the good news. You can know that love if you repent and believe. If you give up your rebellion against God, give up going your own way, and submit to Jesus as your Lord, and rely on his promise that all who do so will be forgiven and given eternal life. That love is for you. John chapter 3, verse 16 again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Whoever believes, this is for you if you believe. And what a faithful friend he is. He does know the worst about us, and he is still faithful to us. Just to illustrate that, look at how he treated those who were especially close to him when he was on earth, the 12 disciples. If you read any of those biographies of Jesus, you will see that they frequently misunderstood him. They were frequently a great disappointment to him. We could say they are just like those of us who are Christians today. But there's one incident that sums up the way they were disappointed to him and the way he was still faithful to them more than any other. And that is what happened when he was betrayed and arrested. The evening before it happened, Jesus had told them that he was about to be betrayed. And he told them that they would all abandon him. They all protested they would never disown him. And yet they did exactly that. And Peter, three times that very night, denied that he even knew Jesus. You can read all about it in Matthew chapter 26. But how did Jesus respond when they let him down? Well, if we fast forward, Jesus is crucified, Jesus is buried. On the third day, he rises again from the dead, and some women go to the tomb. They find it is empty, but an angel is there, and the angel speaks to them with a message from Jesus. Mark chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." They are still his disciples. He has a special word for Peter. Your failure has not been the end of the relationship. When he sees them for the first time, his first words are, Luke 24, verse 36, "Peace be with you." Despite them being real fair weather friends, he hasn't finished with them. He is a faithful friend. In fact, his last words that are recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28, verse 20, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Whatever happens, whatever you go through, however you respond, however you let me down, I'm not going to leave you. He kept that promise by sending his Holy Spirit to live with them. Jesus is the perfectly loving and perfectly faithful friend. God rescues us for a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with the best friend anyone could ever have. And this is also, thirdly, a relationship that changes us. Have you ever had a friendship, maybe you've got one now, where your friend has a good effect on you? You know, the sort of person who, when they spend time with you, you change for the better. I guess many of us have experienced something of that, and it's good when it happens. It's a great sort of friend to have. Well, Jesus is the ultimate example of that. He takes us as he finds us, and he makes us better. He takes us as he finds us, which is in a sorry mess. He takes us as people whose eyes have just been opened to see the enormity of their sin, that they've rebelled against the God who made them, that they've committed, in the words we used last week, cosmic treason. They've rebelled against the God who is rightly their ruler. He takes us as people who deserve judgment, but realize they need mercy. He takes us as people who realize that the only place they can find that mercy is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes us as people who have turned from their sin and cried out to Jesus for that mercy. He forgives us. He gives us eternal life. He brings us into relationship with him, just as we are. But then he changes us for the better. And above all, that means he changes us to be more like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be loving and faithful as Jesus is. He gave this command to his disciples, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." And he doesn't just tell us what we should do, he empowers us to do it by his Holy Spirit, who he sends to live within us. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." The fruit of the Spirit is that we become like Jesus, who is loving, joyful, peaceful, kind, patient, good, faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. That is brilliant. We all need friends who take us as they find us, who aren't waiting for us to become perfect before they become friends with us, which is just as well, otherwise none of us would ever have any friends. But if we're wise, we want friends who will change us, because we've all got our flaws, those things that need changing. If we're wise, we recognize that if we change for the better, we will be better friends. We will enjoy better relationships. And that is exactly what Jesus does for us. He changes us so that we can enjoy a better relationship with Him. He does that in a way that no other relationship can. And finally, fourthly, this is a relationship that will be perfect. What I've said so far raises a question that you may have spotted. In the beginning, I talked about us longing to be able to actually be with our friends and family, a longing to see them face to face, to be in their presence. A realization that however wonderful phone conversations or FaceTime or Zoom meetings are, they are a poor substitute for the real thing. I've made much of our relationship with Jesus, but we can't see Him. He is in heaven, we are on earth. Isn't it then a relationship that is rather like the limited relationships we currently have with our family and friends who are outside our households? To a degree, yes. He is with us now by His Spirit, which makes it a massive improvement on our relationship with people who we aren't allowed to mix with at the moment. But there is still something missing, yes. We can't see Him face to face at the moment. The Bible acknowledges that. For example, Peter says in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Though you have not seen Him. But the Bible writers look forward to something better in the future. This is Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Paul is writing about that time when Jesus comes again to bring a perfect new world. And in that perfect new world, he says, we shall see Jesus face to face. John says the same thing, or is given a vision of the same thing in Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face. It's one of the key things that makes the world to come a perfect place. And what will also make it a perfect place is that as well as seeing Jesus face to face, we will be perfect. God's work of changing us into the people we should be, changing us to be like Jesus, is never completed in this life. But when we get to heaven, when we get to the world to come, it will be completed. Perfect relationship takes two people, not just one. And we aren't perfect down here. But then we shall be. John's first letter, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. Our relationship with Jesus will be perfect for all eternity, and there'll be no possibility of it being disrupted by a pandemic. Do you want that relationship with Jesus? Do you want eternal life? Do you want life as it was meant to be? Eternal life that starts down here and is wonderful even now, but will be perfect when Jesus returns. If you want that, then turn from your rebellion against God and commit yourself to obeying Jesus. And He promises that you will be forgiven, that you will be given eternal life, that you will know Jesus. That wonderful relationship will start right now. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you don't just have mercy on us and forgive us and then just say, right, you get on with your life, but that you welcome us into a new life that is a relationship with you, a relationship with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can know our Creator. Thank you that we can know our Saviour. Father, I pray by your grace that each person watching this broadcast would come through faith in Christ, through faith and repentance, to know Jesus, to enjoy that relationship, even now that one day will be perfect when we get to the world to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.